Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to the series, A Woman After God's Heart, being intentional in our devotion to pursuing God during our lifelong Christian journey. Lesson 8, Our Reactions. Do we respond or react? We all will encounter various difficulties during different seasons in our life. It's not so much about the difficulties, but rather it is more about how we deal with them. Do we handle them our way or God's way? Do we react or do we respond? This makes a big difference because it helps with the best outcome. We can either react and cause more conflict, or we can respond with wisdom and get a better result. It takes time and intentional effort to make mature choices in how to handle the trials of life. It's not easy, nor does it happen overnight. But one way for us to change is to be aware of how we are reacting the wrong way instead of responding the right way. Choosing to respond instead of react is how we develop good, godly, beneficial relationship and life skills. Remember, this is about a woman who pursues the heart of God because she lives her life to please Him and not herself. This doesn't mean she ignores why she is thinking a certain way or has deep emotions. Rather, it means she tweaks the way she handles her thoughts and emotions by responding instead of reacting in difficult situations. We prevent even more problems when we learn to respond rather than react. What's the difference between reacting and responding? Reacting. Reactions usually occur because of layers of ongoing struggles that have no solutions. Or many times it's because of an anger problem. Reacting is defined as an out-of-control emotional way to handle situations. Out of control can be on a passive-aggressive level or an all-out verbal attack mode. It can also come across as being defensive or aggressive. It can involve frustration and exasperation, disgust, disillusionment, and despair, a sense of hopelessness and sadness. These are just some. There are many more. Reactions are very understandable, but reacting only adds to the already present problem because it adds more exasperation. That exasperation can come from ongoing conflict and confusion, or not feeling heard or valued or appreciated, being overwhelmed and stressed out, not being understood or unjustly accused, being rejected or neglected. Reactions can come from not knowing how to deal with a situation in a way that is helpful instead of harmful. When reactions have an over-the-top way of dealing with difficulties, then it's frustrating to the listener because they can't keep up with what the other person is trying to say. The listener gets overwhelmed with not knowing what to do with all the emotions being thrown at them. This is not to say that the person has reason to have deep emotions and thus wants to express them. We can have emotions, but we must display them in a way that doesn't cause even more conflict and confusion by reacting in an unbeneficial way. The balance is sometimes we need to bring emotions into a conversation. It's just that we want to balance them out with some sense of calmness so the other person can receive what we are saying. Reacting can also be a type of simply shutting down or shutting off. A person can react by not engaging. They walk away, either physically, mentally, or emotionally. They are not interested in an ongoing conversation any longer. They're done. This doesn't help resolve the issue either. Here's something to keep in mind. Sometimes we shouldn't continue to engage in volatile conversations that are getting out of control. We need to get away from this and try again another time when calmness can be brought into the conversation. Definition of respond. Respond is more of an in-control way of conversing, even in difficult discussions. It doesn't mean we don't have emotions when we are talking. Rather, when we respond, it means we are controlling our emotions while we are saying some hard things to talk about. Responding is the realization that our words and the way we say them make a huge difference for good or bad, for resolution or ongoing conflict. Responding is when a person knows they cannot blare out whatever they want, however they want, and to whomever they want. You could say a person that responds instead of reacts is a person that has self-control as their guide. Responding is another way of saying we respect another person with the way we use our words. Yes, we may think a person doesn't deserve respect, but rather should have our reaction of a tongue lashing. But it is not about our self-gratification, because it sure feels good to do so as we give them a piece of our mind. But in reality, it's about choosing to respect God with our responses. Reactions don't honor Him. Responding is slowing down so we can cautiously and carefully choose God in the way we discuss things. Responding is holding back so the Holy Spirit can help us. Sometimes we just need to stop and take a breath and keep saying the fruits of the Spirit in our mind before, during, and after a hard conversation. This quiets our minds and our mouths so we can respond God's way. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are the fruits of the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit instead of our own human sinfulness. Love. Remember, this is the greatest of all. And how do we show it? By responding instead of reacting. Peace. Peaceful attitudes is what we strive for in conversations. Patience is definitely needed in difficult discussions. Kindness is what we need to display when instead we feel like being harsh. Goodness is choosing to not say what harms another person. Faithfulness, the main key is being faithful to God in difficult discussions. Gentleness instead of anger can calm the storm. Self-control is what causes us to respond instead of react. Self-control is how we surrender to God by implementing all the fruits of the Spirit. We want to be able to disagree, speak the hard truth in love, correct, rebuke, say whatever needs to be said in the way that honors God and maintains our integrity as followers of Christ. Even if the other person is not workable, we must still do our part. We are not responsible for how others decide to react to us. We are only responsible for the way we ourselves respond, regardless of them. Let's look at an example of reacting and responding. React. Your child breaks something. You react by getting angry, perhaps yelling, demeaning, and belittling the child. Perhaps they truly aren't paying attention and it is their fault. But reacting devalues them in the mistakes they make. We can train, but not in a way that is more harmful than helpful. Respond. Your child breaks something. You notice your anger is right there, but you pause, take a breath, and consider the way you choose to treat a child that has failed. You realize your reactions have lasting effects because of how you make them feel valued or devalued. It's more about how the lesson was learned than the lesson being learned. Words are not the only way we can react. Slamming doors, rolling of the eyes, making loud sighing noises, grabbing the hands of our little ones with frustration, doing or not doing something to be retaliatory to a spouse. And of course, there are many more. Look at the difference between responding and reacting in Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This emphasizes the difference between a gentle response compared to a harsh reaction. One stirs up anger and the other has the potential of turning it away. It's important to remember the concept of consequences for good or bad through either reacting or responding. Six ways to assess ourselves. It's important to assess ourselves so we can know exactly what needs to be changed. Then we can more easily replace reactions with responses. Seek godly, wise counsel if you need to know precise ways to get unstuck and move forward. Number one, who do you especially react to? Your spouse? Children? Friends? Coworkers? Number two, what ways do you react? Such as raise your voice, interrupt, ignore the person, give up, or go on the attack or retaliate. Number three, when do you most likely react? Before your coffee in the morning? After the mess, when company leaves, when children are being too loud, when we receive an email that upsets us, when we've been told a million times to someone they need to do it and they won't. Number four, where do you react more than other places? At home, school, while driving, when doing chores, when tired or hungry? Number five, why do you react? Is it a habit? Does someone push your buttons? Are there unresolved past experiences that trigger you? Are you overwhelmed emotionally or physically? Number six, how do your reactions affect others? Your family members, friends, coworkers, ministry team? Put off and put on concept. Assess what you need to put off, what you need to stop saying or doing that is reacting and thus not good for you or others. Then decide what you need to put on, what you need to start saying or doing in order to respond in wise ways that are beneficial. If not immediately, then in the days and years to come. Let's do PAT, Practical Application Tools. Eight pause buttons. One, pause and take a breath so you have time to settle yourself. Reactions come from immediately speaking without thinking first. Responses come from slowing down before you intentionally speak the words in a way that hopefully will be received. It doesn't always work, but at least you made the effort to do what was right in the sight of God. 2. Pause and remember kindness is the key to showing respect with a peaceful attitude. A kind voice that is firm is far more powerful than a harsh one that pushes people away from us. Kindness is simply being thoughtful and considerate as we try to help and not hinder the goal of finding resolution. 3. Pause and go into the world of the other person. Take time to realize their perspective is different than yours because they are uniquely different than you. They are on a different path and a different level of perhaps maturity or experience, but you can still find solutions that work for both people when you remember there are differences. You come with an attitude of teamwork and not as enemies. 4. Pause and practice listening. Concentrate on what they are saying and not on what you want to say. The brain cannot think about what it is going to say while at the same time focusing on what the brain of another person is projecting. Do not interrupt. Interruptions prove we are not listening because we are impatient. Interrupting causes high frustration in communication. 5. Pause and ask questions. Show you care by asking questions to gather information instead of making statements that tell them you only care about what you have to say. Asking questions shows you want to make the effort to understand them. Asking questions calms the waters as it gives the other person the opportunity to hear themselves talk. They might even eventually disagree with what they themselves have said. 6. Pause to remember goals, needs, or wants. This is a good starting place. Sometimes the reason why there is conflict and confusion are because goals have not been clearly defined and done, and then there's frustration. Or needs have not been met. We might think we are meeting their needs, but what we think they need might not be what they think they need, and that causes emotional turmoil. And sometimes there are wants that have not been expressed or they've been ignored. This can cause division because people don't feel valued when wants are not being considered, or on the other hand, wants have been given but not appreciated. 7. Pause and know your emotions and theirs. Get your emotions in control to calm the waters, and hopefully this will help the other person too. One thing that helps is to be more businesslike. This means we try to be rational and concise without a multitude of words that can deepen already emotions that are mad, sad, whatever. Being aware that emotions become volatile causes us to carefully control our feelings as we express them when needed. 8. Pause and think of how you want to express your perspective or feelings in the safest way that builds trust. Do you need to express in a firm way? Do you need to express in an understanding way? Do you need to share your feelings and frustrations? And if so, how are you going to do that? Do you need to have a sheet of paper with just a few bullet points to stay on topic with what actually needs to be said and resolved? How you express yourself greatly matters, sometimes even more than the words you are saying. The balance is sometimes we don't have the luxury of applying these tips, but hopefully we can eventually learn to be quick in responding with them in the right way. According to Scripture, some of the main ways we should respond or talk to others is with wisdom and kindness that is beneficial in building instead of harmful and tearing down. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths. Paul is telling us to be conscious of the words that come out of our mouths. Corrupt talk is the opposite of encouraging speech. This is reacting. Scripture tells us that we need to indeed have control over what we say. The world tells us, I couldn't help saying it. But God says we do have control by choosing to respond His way. Instead of using corrupting or negative talk, we are to do the opposite. The opposite of corrupt speech is to say words that are beneficial and appropriate to the situation we are in. The goal is to be peaceful and show grace to the listener, no matter what their age is. Our intent is to help others with our words. Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt. Paul is giving us the principle to wise words. They must be gracious so that they find favor with the listener, even when we are speaking hard, firm truths. Seasoned with salt. In Paul's time, salt was mainly a preservative that kept meat from spoiling, and it also changed the flavor of foods. So Paul is using salt as a metaphor. The believer's words are to preserve the message we are speaking of, rather it's in evangelism or conversing about various issues. In other words, what a Christian says should add value and benefit to the conversation. They should be helpful and lift others up. This is the flavor or salt of our speech that makes the words we say much more tasty or acceptable. Good conversationalists know to not continually talk about the negative or be disagreeable or have a demeaning attitude, because this is not using salt that will season the conversation to be more acceptable. James 1, verse 19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James is telling us about the speed in conversations. Be fast to listen, be slow to speak. Then it is far less likely that the emotion of anger will get out of control. When we refuse to allow anger to be part of a conversation, then it is an act of obedience toward God. We might have feelings of anger as a human being, but God desires that we learn self-control. And one way to do this is to listen much and to speak less. Matthew 12, verse 36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. This is called the judgment seat of Christ. There, Jesus will examine each believer's actions and works. He will also hold them accountable for every careless word that they spoke. In other words, our words are taken very seriously by God, so we need to learn to be careful and not careless with them. Note, this judgment does not mean a believer can lose their salvation. It is more about determining rewards because of choices we made on earth. Words that breaks the spirit of a child is especially important to avoid. Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Of course, this applies to mothers also, or just anyone that is instructing a child. The concept is the same for all. This means we are not to exasperate a child by having high expectations of them to where they want to outwardly or inwardly give up. This happens when we react instead of respond. It happens when we are harsh instead of understanding. Whenever instruction is given with a sense of harshness and impatience, it can have lasting, harmful effects on how that child values themselves or others. This is not about guilt, but it is about the realization that wrongly reacting to a child that makes poor choices or truly doesn't know any better or needs much more patient training doesn't need the fear or insecurity of a parent reacting to them. This can haunt them for years. I have seen it many times in my consulting office. Proverbs 15:4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life. The Hebrew root word for soothing tongue means healing or wholesome words. Solomon compares these types of words to a tree of life. This is synonymous with a properly nourished tree that grows and provides refreshment for all who seek shelter. This is what responding does. Similarly, encouraging words provide nourishment and refreshment to those who receive them. Calm and measured words are far more productive than spiteful ones with harmful reactions. Our words truly matter in the way we either react or respond. Being intentional about not tearing others down, but rather building with beneficial words, is what God desires in a woman that pursues His heart. Let's recap. 6 ways to assess yourself. It's important to assess yourself so you know exactly what needs to be changed. Then you can more easily replace reactions with responses. 1, who do you especially react to? 2, what ways do you react? 3, when do you most likely react? 4, where do you react more than other places? 5, why do you react? 6, how do your reactions affect others? Let's recap PAT, Practical Application Tools, 8 pause buttons. 1, pause and take a breath to settle yourself. 2, pause and remember kindness. 3, pause and go into the world of the other person. 4, pause and practice listening. 5, pause and ask questions. 6, pause to remember goals, needs, or wants. 7, pause and know your emotions and theirs. 8, pause and think about how you want to express your perspective or feelings. God wants to help us in every difficulty we experience. We continue to ask Him to transform us. We follow Christ as He followed God's ways. And we ask the Holy Spirit to continue to guide us, teach us, and help us. It's a journey, but a good one that produces good things in our life and the lives of others. Thanks so much for listening. Hope this was helpful to you. Please subscribe and share with others, and leaving a review is helpful to get the word of God out there. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40:8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.